In this episode, we will continue our look at what it truly means to genuinely respect our husbands, what it looks like in our everyday lives. As I've said before, we are not only called by God to respect our husbands, but our husbands need us to show them respect in the same way that we need them to show us love. It's a part of how God designed the marriage relationship to be. If we don't take the time to learn this, to truly apply God's word to our marriages, then we will continue to have problems. But if we can get this right, if we can learn to respect our husbands and trust Christ in this, it will be a game changer in our relationship. Are you ready for this? Let's get started. Welcome to the Faith Lived Out podcast. Are you wanting a loving Christian marriage but are unsure what that looks like or how to get it? Do you have fears about becoming a submissive wife, afraid that you'll lose your identity or become a doormat? Do you have thoughts that maybe you're doing this whole wife and marriage thing all wrong and you want to know how to do it right, to stop worrying all the time and to learn how to truly put your faith and trust in the Lord? Hey girl, I'm Nancy Adamson, wife, mom, and Grammy to 7 sweet babies, Christian mentor, Bible teacher, speaker, and women's ministry leader. I see you and I get you because I've been there, and I'm here to share with you what God has taught me on how to have a loving biblical marriage and what the true meaning of being a submissive wife really looks like. We'll also chat about how to find wisdom and truth for life's challenging questions in His Word, how to apply God's truth to our lives, and to put the cares and concerns that are on your heart safely in the Father's hands. So if you're ready to learn how to live out your faith every day and follow the amazing plan that God has for your marriage, grab your coffee, pull up a chair next to mine, and let's get started. Last week, we looked at why showing respect to our husbands is so important to them and to our marriage relationship. We talked about the fact that despite our fears of what respecting our husbands may cause, or the fact that, no, they may not deserve it all the time, we are to trust God and to be obedient to Him in this. We looked at the various ways we tend to disrespect our husbands, sometimes without even realizing what we are doing. And that continuing to do this creates this merry-go-round effect in that the husband is uncaring or unloving towards his wife, so then the wife is disrespectful to her husband. But then on the flip side, the husband doesn't feel respected by his wife, so it makes him more difficult to show love towards her. To stop this, someone needs to get off the merry-go-round, and we do this by doing life differently. We also started chatting about the 6 areas where we can and should be showing respect, with the first one being to respect him in your speech. I told you about Dr. Eggerich's book and that respect test that he has in it. Did you try it on your husband? What was his response? I hope it was a positive one. If you haven't listened to last week's episode, you're going to want to go and do that before moving forward with this one. So just hit that pause button right now and go and listen to it. We'll be right here when you come back. Just as much as we are to be respectful in our speech, we also are to be respectful in our actions. This is the second area that we show respect to our husbands. So how do we do this? We do this by being attentive to his needs and what is going on in his life, being genuinely interested, taking time to listen, and offering encouragement or giving gracious advice when possible. Make his needs a priority. Don't be finding yourself saying, "Oh, I'm sorry, honey, but I forgot." Because to us, like, we just forgot because we were busy and life was going on or something happened with the kids. But when our husbands hear those words, to them, it's, "I forgot you." Like, everything else was more important in my life, but you, and I forgot you. Also, come alongside him and help him with what he is wanting to accomplish. Use the gifts and the talents that God has given you to help your husband achieve his goals. So my husband is a self-taught mechanical engineer, and he is absolutely amazing at it. Over the last 25 years, he has designed countless items for the railroad industry that are still being purchased and used today. However, to make a document or a website look aesthetically pleasing is not exactly his forte, but it is mine. So this is where I come alongside him, and I help him to be successful in our business by designing our product sheets that he can send to the new customers. Or just recently, I designed us a new website. This is what we can do for our husbands. We take those gifts and those talents that God has given us, and we use them in ways to be able to lift them up, to encourage them, and to help them be successful. And then you can also admire and appreciate. Admire and appreciate those things that you love about him, especially the little things. Ladies, I cannot even begin to tell you how important it is for a man to be appreciated. As a matter of fact, if you listen to the episode where I interviewed my husband, he mentioned this several times. Things that we do to show our husband's appreciation speaks volumes to them, and they respond to it in a positive manner. We must not take what they do to provide for the family and going to work every day and putting up with some of the things that happen at work. In protecting our family and taking care of our homes and our children, we can't take those things for granted. In the same way that we wouldn't want them to take us for granted with all the work that we do around the house or with raising our kids or whatever it is, but we need to make sure that we are appreciating them in this. And then appreciate his desire to work and achieve. Show your appreciation of him both verbally and with acts of kindness. Tell him how much you appreciate his hard work, how you appreciate his provision for the family, how he takes care of the car, takes care of the house. Whatever it is that he does. Notice those things and thank him just with little short verbal appreciation of, oh, hey, I noticed that you did that. Thank you. Show your appreciation by acts of kindness. You know, maybe take a chore of his and do it for him because he doesn't really have a lot of time to do it anyway. Or one of the things that my husband mentioned in that interview that I didn't even realize made a big difference to him was when I plan to do something that he likes to do. If you remember from that episode, he mentioned going to the races, and I don't necessarily care about races. However, my husband likes anything and everything that has to do with cars, whether it's track racing, drag racing, car shows, car auctions, whatever it is, the man loves cars. He knows that I could take it or leave it. So when I plan something for us to go to that is a car event, he knows that I am doing it for him and not for me. And that's what makes all the difference in the world. And I still enjoy it because I enjoy being there with him throughout the day to see him happy and to just spend that time with he and I. So it's still a fun time for me as well. So what is it that your husband likes to do? What are his interests that you could plan something that you and he could go and do together or even go as a family? Maybe it's golf or fishing, camping, baseball or a football game. Who knows? Just take a little bit of time and plan something that the two of you can go and do together that he likes to do. And you may even find that you like it as well. My husband took me to go see B.B. King one time. Didn't really know anything about the blues, but I'm like, okay, fine, I'll go. I like music. I now love the blues, and I love to go to blues festivals with him. So it has created something, a desire in me, and something that we can go and do together that I didn't even know I liked before. So you may even find that you end up liking it more than you realize. The third area is to respect his headship. To respect him as the head of your household. The best way that we can do this, ladies, is by listening and not arguing. Listening to what it is that he has to say without interrupting him with your own thoughts and ideas. Not that we can't voice them. We absolutely should give our husbands the benefit of our wisdom and our knowledge and our experiences. But as the verse says in Proverbs 18:13, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. And I don't know about you ladies, but I have done this. I have interjected something and said something, and then my husband was able to finish what he was saying, and I was like, oh, okay, never mind. I shouldn't have said anything. happens to me all the time. So first, listen to what it is that he has to say. Respect his opinion and his headship by being submissive in his leading, even if you don't fully agree with what his plans are or what his thoughts are. So a friend of mine during Bible study was actually talking about this very same thing, in that sometimes her husband comes to her and says, "Oh, hey, I want to do this. This is a great idea." And she's like, "Yeah, I don't think so." And so she voices her opinion to him and he goes, No. I've got a great idea. This is what we're going to do." And so she goes, "Okay, this is what we'll do." And then she prays and she's like, "Lord, if I'm wrong, I'm going to do this no matter what. And I'm just going to leave this to you. And if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. And if I'm right, then please change my husband's mind so that we can do the right thing and that we can follow in your will." And she said, oftentimes her husband will come back to her a little bit later and go, "Yeah, you know what? I've been thinking about it and you're right. We're not going to do it that way." So ladies, we need to trust the Lord in this and we just need to give it to God and not push our way. You know, when we are adamant about, "No, we can't do it that way," and making it to where we're pushing them and making our point, then it's that much more difficult for them later to come back to us and say, "Hey, you know what? You were right." I mean, they dig their heels in. The more we dig our heels in and making our point and saying, "No, do it my way," then the more they're going to dig their heels in not conceding. So we're only hurting ourselves sometimes when we do this, and we need to be careful with it. We've already talked about arguing in part one, but I want to make a note here that arguing is also disrespectful to his headship, to him being the head of the household. One thing that can help us to be able to understand this and to do this better is to understand the fact that our husbands are held accountable to God for how they lead their family. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, we read, "For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Then in Romans 14:10-13, we read, "But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God.' So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to be putting a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way." In Romans, it talked about showing contempt. And to show contempt is open disrespect or willful disobedience against our husbands. And then it talked about each of us shall give an account for himself to God. We are all going to stand before that judgment seat of Christ and give an account to God for our actions. Our husbands will for how they have led the family and how what kind of husband they have been. And we will for how we have been submissive and respectful to our husbands and the godly wife that we have been. It tells us not to judge one another anymore. We are not to be judging our husbands and looking for their faults, but showing them grace and mercy in the same way that Christ does for us. And in the same way, we want our husbands to show us grace and mercy when we mess up. And then not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall. When we are not submissive or we're disrespectful, this is putting a stumbling block or a cause to fall for them because we're just making their job as head of the household that much more difficult. And it's kind of like, you know, that merry-go-round thing that I was saying, in that when we're disrespectful or when we are unsubmissive, then it makes it more difficult for them to show love to us. And that just keeps going around and around like that until someone does something different. We can respect our husband's headship by being submissive to their request, by listening and not arguing. And then we can also do it by putting his wants and his feelings before our own. I know this is a huge thing that flies in the face of this "what about me" society that we all live in, but that does not work in a marriage. Philippians 2:3 tells us, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." So in our relationship with anyone and everyone we should be doing this, but especially with our husbands. We should not have this, but what about me attitude, but this has to be fair, you know, this kind of a thing, but rather an attitude of, what can I do for you? How can I help you? How can I come alongside and lift you up? I know that we sometimes have this fear that, oh, if I put my husband first and I consider him before myself, then he's not going to do the same thing for me. Like, I'm just going to be his slave. And you know what, ladies? We need to do this out of obedience for Christ and not even expect anything back, but know that as we honor God in this, he will honor us as well. And I can't tell you that every single man is going to respond in a great way to this, but most of them will. They will respond in kind and do the same thing for you. I can also tell you that in my own marriage, my husband and I have learned to put each other first. It took learning. It took practice. It took time. It took a choice to say, I'm going to put him before me and he puts me before himself. And it's a beautiful thing in our relationship and it just makes it work and makes it so loving and caring. But someone has to take that step of faith first. The fourth way that we respect our husbands is to respect his way of doing things. As wives, we can treat our husbands like children. There are jokes about this. There are t-shirts made about this, but this is not God's design for marriage. We do this by constantly correcting them or by instructing them on how they should be doing something and that they're not doing it right and they need to do it this way. Usually it's more about they need to do it my way and not theirs. But what happens when we do this is that when we want them to then stand up and to act like men, they don't. And it's mostly our own fault because we have treated them like children. So to keep the peace, that's what they become. They just stay quiet and they let us run the show. Stop and think about this for a minute. If this is something that you do either all of the time or even some of the times, where does it stem from? Is it from what you saw your mom do in her relationship with her husband? And so you're just kind of following in her footsteps and doing the same thing. Or is it that maybe your mother-in-law raised her husband this way and always doing things for him and not having him take responsibility for his own actions? And now you're left raising the child. Ladies, we have to stop this. We have to not pick up where our moms left off or where our mother-in-laws left off. And we need to do what God has designed for marriage. We cannot treat our husbands like children in telling them what they need to do and how they need to do it, and then turn around and expect them to act like men in other areas. It is just not going to happen. This is going to seem like a weird verse to give you a biblical perspective on this, but kind of follow my process here. It comes from Proverbs 11:12, and it says, "He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace." So think about the relationship between neighbors. We don't always like what our neighbors do. Maybe it's the color that they painted their house. Maybe it's that big old antenna that they put up in their backyard, or the fact that their front yard is full of rocks, or their front yard is full of grass, and we like one and not the other. The one devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor for what he is doing and how he is doing it, because it is not what he would do or what he wants it to look like. So he tells his neighbor his opinion, what he should do instead, and therefore causes strife. But the man of understanding holds his peace. He recognized that his neighbor is different from him and that his neighbor has a different taste and a different way of doing things. And that's okay. Show respect for your husband by treating him like the man that he is. Refrain from interfering, from correcting him and giving him instructions. How he is doing it wrong, on how he needs to do it right, or how you would do it. Instead, just be thankful for whatever it is that he is doing and that he is getting it done. No, it may not be the way that you would do it, but does it really matter? I mean, ladies, we need to pick our battles. Another thing, too, is that if we're going to be correcting our husbands on what they are doing and helping us, like in the kitchen or doing things around the house all the time, maybe with the laundry, they're going to stop doing it. Nobody wants to be told how and what to do all the time when they're trying to be helpful to you. So be careful in this and letting them do it his way. In respecting the way that they do things, we also want to be respectful and considerate of our husband's time, of his goals and his task and the things that he is working on, not filling up his honey to-do list so much so that he can't accomplish the things that are important to him and just constantly feels that all that we do are asking him to do this, take care of that, get that done. We need to be careful with that as well. All right, then. Area number 5 is being an example of respect to your children. Show him honor and have the kids do the same, doing all that we have talked about in showing respect to your husband and doing these things in front of your children. In this, you are also setting the example of how your daughter is to treat her husband or how your son should expect his wife to show him respect when he gets married. You are helping to train them for their future marriage. And we do this by not correcting our husbands in front of our kids. We wouldn't want our husbands to do that to us, and we shouldn't be doing it to them. Instead, take some time, take him aside and talk to him privately. My husband had to do this with me a few times while we were raising our kids because I wasn't raised in a Christian home and my parenting skills were a bit off. And so my husband graciously would pull me aside and go, "Hey, why can't the kids do this? Or why are you, saying that?" And I learned that I needed to do something a little bit differently, but he didn't ever disrespect me in front of my children. And then always speak highly of your husband to your children and don't allow them to be disrespectful or to talk back to him. It is your job as a mom to teach your kids to respect their father. You can also teach your kids to appreciate their dad and how he provides for them and how he protects the family. Kids can be very complaining and they can be very in the moment, this is great. And then the next moment, I don't have this toy. I don't have this thing that I have to have. All the other kids have it and I don't. And we need to remind them of how hard their dad works to give them the things that they have and to show appreciation for those things. In Ephesians 6:1-3, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." Trust me, most kids do not learn this on their own. This is a verse that we need to teach them, that they need to understand and constantly be reminded and taught on. Lastly, number 6 is to respect him in front of others. I already gave you an example last week of my mistake in this. I did not mean to disrespect my husband in this way, but he certainly took it that way, and I understand why. I have not done it again, by the way. At least not yet. Hopefully I won't be. Have you seen a wife that belittles her husband by talking down to him or telling others all of his faults? How he's not very smart about something, not handy around the house or not helpful, maybe not good with finances, or he can't fix the car. Or some who are correcting their husbands in front of others. Ladies, this is not holding our husbands in high esteem or regard. This is not speaking edifying words or imparting grace to the hearer, as we read in Ephesians 4:29. I know it can be easy to fall into this trap because we hear somebody else complain about their husband or to talk down to him, and we end up joining right in. But girls, we need to not do this. We need to change the subject or to walk away or to do something so that we don't follow them down that path. But we need to be respectful to our husbands at all times. Romans 12:9-10 says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another." Honor and esteem your husband in front of other people. Let your love for him shine and be an example of what a biblical marriage looks like and what respect in a marriage looks like. Be kindly affectionate towards him, tender-hearted, giving him preference over everyone else, always talking positively about him to others, building him up when you talk to him and when you talk about him to your friends. Stop and imagine for a moment what your husband's thoughts or feelings or response would be if he hears you singing his praises to someone else. Isn't this the kind of thing that we want in our marriages? We know that we can't do the same thing every day and expect different results. That is why we are to not just be hearers, but doers of the word. So what are you going to do differently? Let me recommend some things. The first one is to start with prayer. Pray for God to show you areas where you need to either stop doing something or start doing something different to show respect towards your husband. Make a list of what these things might be. Remember that when we put off the old, meaning we put off the old character, we must replace it with the new character, with the things that we want to be doing. So of these six areas, being respectful in your speech or in your actions, respecting his headship or his way of doing things, being an example of respect to your kids or respecting him in front of others, which area is God calling you to change and what specifically are those changes? You might even want to go back and listen to this episode again and last week's episode and make that list because you probably thought of some things as you were listening, but now you may not remember them all. So go back, have a listen, make a list that you can refer back to and pray over time. And then ask for forgiveness. I mean, really think about doing this. We're all learning to be godly husbands and wives, and we're learning it in the thick of things, and we make mistakes, and we all need to have forgiveness from time to time. So think about going to your husband and asking him for forgiveness for how you have disrespected him in the past. This will go such a long way in healing old hurts and letting go of the past and moving forward to a brighter future. And in him recognizing that God is doing a work in you. It is so easy to let our pride get in the way, but ladies, don't let it. I know I have to think twice. It's like, oh, do I really have to apologize? And I have to take that pride and I've got to push it off to the side and say, yes, my husband is more important to me than my pride. This can open the door to so much healing and love in your marriage. And then maybe you might want to check out that book of love and respect that I talked about last week, Dr. Eggrich's book. It has all kinds of great information in there for both you and your husband, in him learning how to love you as his wife and you learning how to respect him as your husband. So if this is something that you're interested in, I know that you can find it on Amazon, probably in several different places. It is called Love and Respect, and it is written by Dr. Emerson Eggerich. All right, and then the last one is the respect test. Have you done it yet with your husband? If you don't know what I'm talking about, then go back to last week's episode and listen to it because this is something that you really should try with your husband. You might be surprised by the results. And you know what? I would love to know what those results are. Like if you do this, and I really hope that you do, then please come over to the Facebook community page and let us know how it went. We really would like to know. As I said earlier, if we get this right, if we are willing to step out in faith by God's command to unconditionally show genuine respect to our husbands, to get off that merry-go-round and to make a change, it will make all the difference in the world in our marriages. The choice is yours. Have a blessed day. Thank you so much for listening today. I pray that God has used this episode to bless and inspire you to live out your faith in Him. If it has, please do me a huge favor by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. This is the only way that I know if you like the show, and you will be helping others to find this podcast and be lifted up by the Word of God. Is there someone who came to mind while you were listening today and you said, "Ooh, she needs to hear this"? Well, then send her the link so she can be encouraged too. Are you in the Dallas area and looking for a fresh new speaker to add excitement to your next luncheon, women's retreat, or other women's event? Then drop me a note at nancy@faithlivedout.com and let's chat about it. That's Nancy, N-A-N-C-I, at faithlivedout.com. I would love to come and meet with you and the ladies in your group. You're also welcome to visit the website at faithlivedout.com for more information, blog posts, journaling ideas, and free printables. Or become a part of our little community of believers by joining the Faith Lived Out community group on Facebook, where you can join together with other faith-led wives and moms just like you. Links to these areas and the scripture references used in today's episode are in the show notes. Ladies, thank you again for listening today, and know that I am praying for God to be with you as you learn to trust in Him more and to live out your faith every day. God bless you, and see you on the next episode.